to listen to the Left Traffic Podcast.
What is up, Left Traffic Nation? Welcome to episode number 90 of the Left Traffic Podcast. I am your host, the Professor Brandon Crowd. All right, before we get into things tonight, I want to take two brief moments of silence here real quick. The first for Caleb Hammond. I'm sure we all saw on social media about this 11-year-old boy who unfortunately lost his life to leukemia this past weekend and just received an incredible outpouring of support from fans on social media, teams, drivers, all that. Just incredible. The outpouring of positive support that social media was able to draw. It's definitely brought people together. It's unfortunate. Social media is used so many times in a negative light, but this was definitely a positive. And so a quick moment of silence and an engine rev for Caleb. Second moment of silence to remember the lives lost and the men and women who worked tirelessly trying to find and save those lives on September 11th, 2001. You know, September 11th is one of the moments and days of history where if you're alive and old enough to remember, you will always remember where you were, what you were doing, when you heard the news. It's one of those events that you truly will never forget. I was a freshman working on my undergrad. It happened on a Tuesday, I remember that, and I had Monday, Wednesday, Friday classes, so I was actually working for my uncle's catering company, and we were at the hall prepping food, all that kind of stuff, and it was on the TV, and I'll never forget that, and it's just incredible how vivid the day was for me when I had no impact whatsoever tied to anybody. So I can only imagine what people still remember that were there and all that. I could get goosebumps and all that just talking about it. And just want to give a moment of silence to those to remember whose lives we lost, those who were impacted, and those who fight and defend us. All right, let's get rolling with the show. All right, before we get to NASCAR talk and all that, how about them Detroit Lions? Wow, what a game. Yep, I'm a season ticket holder. Can't say I'm a proud season ticket holder at the moment, but my gosh. And the thing is, I had to stick around to the very end of that debacle because of the shuttle that I was taking back to get to home in Berkeley at with the 24-second shuttle there. At the end, I don't know if they showed this on TV because it's not like that's a game you want to go back and watch, but the stadium emptied out, which I'm sure you could see that on TV, but all of the Jets fans in the stadium made their way to the Jets sideline and literally took over the stadium with Jets chants and all that. It was definitely not the one of the finer moments of the Detroit Lions. And the Cleveland Browns have a better record than the Detroit Lions with their tie. Like, that's just crazy. Very, very weird game last night. But moving on. I can't believe this is show number 90. 10 shows away from 100. Definitely going to try to do something special for episode 100, which the way it's looking very well could be potentially the last show of the season. 10 weeks left in the season, and there is a week coming up that I will not be able to do a show. I will be taking an off week. So that said, episode 100 could be the week after Homestead. So we'll see. Maybe I'll do an extra show after that too. But episode 100 definitely will be happening in a few weeks here, which is really exciting. Hope everyone had a great weekend. It was unseasonably cold here in Metro Detroit. Cloudy, cold all weekend. Was able to shut the air conditioning off, which was nice. And of course, we had the washout in Indy this past weekend. But with the lack of Xfinity racing on Saturday, was able to watch some Michigan football in its entirety. Sunday, was able to watch my Patriots in full since the Cup race was canceled. Now, normally when the race gets ran on Monday, I'll watch the race after work to get some notes for the show, all that kind of good stuff. But last night, like I said, went to the Lions game. But fortunately, I was able to listen and watch to most of it streaming on my phone, both races at work. So I'm all good, caught up. And I cannot believe not a single lap of practice or qualifying ran in either the Xfinity Series or Cup Series. I definitely thought that was going to make things interesting, and I think it did. They ran how they unloaded, which is definitely an interesting way to start both races. Cooler track temps, typically faster speeds. Tires got eaten up, some comp cautions, all that. And a couple guys ran 650 miles on Monday, which I'm sure they were not expecting on doing. Ty Dillon, Austin Dillon, Blaney, Chase Elliott, some of those that pulled double duty. All right, let's. What's the rundown for tonight? Great guest, Ben Rhodes, going to be on here in just a minute. Really excited to talk to Ben. I haven't talked to him in a few weeks since doing the MIS show, so very excited to talk to him. Reset where the trucks are at, pretty much a repeat from last week because nothing's changed there. We'll talk Xfinity and Cup at Indy, social media, silly season. My gosh, there's a lot going on. Silly season's in full force. Race weather will be on a little later to talk about some. He's been busy, let me tell you. Lucky dog lap down picks, fantasy to close it out. All right, let's get Mr. Ben Rhodes on the line. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, joining me on the line, making his third appearance on the Lap Traffic Podcast, driver of the number 41 Carolina Nut with Thor Sport Racing. Mr. Ben Rhodes, welcome back to the show, brother.
Hey, thanks for having me on. What is this, my third time now?
Third time, yes, sir.
Man, I'm getting old. Veteran.
You are. You're welcome anytime, too. There's no limit. So a couple off weeks, man. Did you get to do anything fun over the last couple weeks?
Well, I'll be honest, a lot of chores, not a whole lot of fun. when you're on the road that long for so many weeks, and I'm sure you guys hear it from cup drivers all the time, when you're on the road that long and you finally get 2 weeks off, it's really your time to get everything done that's been neglected for you know, that amount of weeks. So for me, it's been landscaping, yard work, stuff for Ben Rhodes Motorsports, events, sponsors, you know, doing all kinds. I'm still traveling. I'm just not traveling to the races. So
sure. Yeah.
For me, I would much rather be traveling to the races, but it is what it is. It comes with the job.
Right. Yeah. It's the mundane stuff getting caught back up over a short period of time there.
Absolutely.
All right. Ben, the last time we talked, you and Myatt Snyder came and hung out with me for a little bit in the MIS Media Center, where you coined the phrase the Talladega of the North, where you had a sixth place finish. So late congrats on a solid finish at MIS. How was that race? If you can go back that far, it seems like ages ago.
Yeah, it does seem like ages ago. So it's funny, as a driver, you always immediately, you may not remember all the details of the race immediately. You'll remember them vividly if you have some reminders, but I always remember how I felt after the race. I can always tell you if it was a good race or a bad race based on my emotions, because I remember if I was happy or mad when I left the track. And that race, the finish was good. You know, sixth place, it was okay.
Sure.
But I was actually left mad because of some on-track incidents. It's the Talladega of the North because you have to rely on competitors for your speed. You have to rely on competitors to treat you right as well. And we ran into a couple of on-track incidents, but, you know, it is what it is. I think that was a good, solid race for us. It was good momentum. But really, for these playoffs, we need to be running a lot better than that.
I hear you. Well, you'll be at Talladega in a couple weeks, where I think you need to tell the media down there that it's the Michigan of the South, just to be fair.
Maybe I could. It's north still. So at that point, you call it the Daytona of the North.
There we go. When you get to a track like MIS, where you said, you know, you got to rely on a lot of things, which in terms of on-track competitors kind of working with you, you're going to have that same thing at Talladega. You know, Michigan, while it's not a plate truck race, it runs very much like a plate truck race, right?
It does. It does. And you know, when you're racing at Michigan, the big thing that you have to look for is the runs on the straightaway. Everybody gets runs so fast. It reminded me a lot of the racing you saw at Indianapolis Motor Speedway this past weekend in the Xfinity Series, where, you know, the cars were getting such a big run on each other that it made for some crazy passes and side-by-side action going into the corners. And that was the case for us. But the problem was is that, you know, the groove is narrow like Indianapolis Motor Speedway. But the problem with us is that, you know, once you pulled out, you were losing spots more than you would gain them. The outside line was the preferred line. And, you know, if you pulled in and tried to make the pass and didn't time it correctly, then you were going to get freight trained on the bottom. And there was a lot more momentum. It was a lot more like Talladega. And, you know, for us, even your teammates, trying to work with your teammates really wasn't a guarantee. A lot of cases, you know, my teammate had to leave me out to dry and I had to leave my teammate out to dry. It was just part of the racing there, but we did everything we could to work together.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It also seems like ages ago that you guys were at Canadian Tire Motorsports Park, where you started on the pole and qualified on wet tires. What was that like?
Gosh, that was so much fun. I was a big supporter of running in the rain in the race. I was doing my rain dance. I wanted rain so bad, and I've never rained in the rain before. And I thought it was so much fun. And for me, it seemed like it kind of leveled the playing field in a way, because some of the guys that may have had different motors may have been a little faster. Some of the guys that maybe, you know, their trucks were set up and they found more speed in practice than we did in the setup. It allowed us to kind of bring the whole playing field down. And at that point, it was just up to the drivers to find grip, you know, run where the most grip was, wherever it was the driest or wherever the most grip was. It wasn't slimy. And for me, I just relied on some supporters of mine, some helpers, some coaches that I had. They were actually my spotters at the same time. So it made it easy going into every corner. They could kind of coach me through everything as it was my first time. And, you know, for me, I felt like they were the guys that really helped me win the pole there. I just wish it rained the entire race, because I got so comfortable with it. I felt like we were good to go if it rained. But I knew going back to the dry racetrack was going to be problems. I knew it was going to be crazy. The trucks were going to be a lot closer. There was going to be drafting on the backstretch. You know, at that point, everybody was getting everything they could out of their trucks. It just came down to track position and ultimately tires and setup. And in the wet, you just go. I mean, it is just fun. And I wish we'd race in the rain, but I'll do the rain dance next year. Now that I've got a taste of it, I don't want to go back.
That's funny. That's awesome. So talk about the race itself a little bit for you. I assume kind of like MIS, probably got out of the truck a little upset there.
Yeah, I got out of the truck a lot of upset there. MIS, it was like it was like a walk in the park compared to Canadian Tire. I felt so happy leaving MIS compared to Canadian Tire. And that's just because I was so mad. I ended up getting dumped by Johnny Sauter. And the unfortunate part about this is that this was the second time that I've essentially been wrecked by him at that racetrack. The previous year, 2017, he ran me off the track at turn 10 and popped my right front tire. You know, it just kind of uncalled for there. I was passing him. And then this time, you know, going down into turn 5, there was nowhere for anybody to go. I was trying to set the guys up in front of me. And he just ran right into the rear of me and just spun me out. So I don't know what's going on there. We had a nice little talk or two after the race.
Okay. I was gonna ask that, you know, and I don't like to push the envelope too much, being, you know, a fan-based podcast. I don't want to get too deep or anything like that. But I was going to ask, you know, what's that like, you know, younger truck guy getting involved in a couple wrecks with a veteran like Johnny Sauter, how that all plays out. So I'm glad you brought that up.
Well, I'm slowly becoming a veteran.
I think you are.
The only two guys that have more continuous starts than me is Matt Crafton and Johnny Sauter in the truck series. So me and Johnny have a history. I've raced around him plenty enough now to know him, and he knows me. And I don't know where the lack of respect or on the racetrack is coming from, but we had a nice conversation after the race.
Okay.
And I told him exactly how I feel and exactly what I'm going to do to him. So,
right.
You know, he knows what to expect, especially
sure.
if I have troubles going to the next round because I got dumped and lost all those points.
Hey, that definitely something you're not going to forget, right?
No, no. And that's the big thing. You know, you got to stand up to bullies at some point. And at some point, you got to say enough's enough and let everybody know that you're not going to be raised dirty.
Sure.
You're not going to, you know, you're not going to tolerate that stuff. Because at the end of the day, if Johnny can do it, then everybody can. Right.
Right. And yeah, there's got
to
be
you kind of have to set the tone and show people you're not going to be messed with.
Right. No, I'm with you. Yeah. Because if you don't, then like you said, you know, then it's, you know, a free for all at that point.
Yeah, it's open season. Come and get it.
That's funny. All right, so the truck series, long stretch of racing from June through the end of August. You kick off the playoffs, 2 weeks off, run at Vegas, off for 3 weeks. Gives the guys in the shop plenty of time, but how is that for you from a driver perspective and the guys at the track in terms of being able to get in rhythm and momentum?
Well, the first weekend off, I was like, oh, this is kind of nice. I can get caught up on a few things that have been, you know, I wouldn't say stressing me out, but stuff that needed to get done, you know, on sponsorship side and event side and stuff, obligations that you have, right? And I was like, oh, it's nice. I got caught up. And then by the second off weekend, I'm like, all right, let's race. I'm tired of this.
Right?
So, you know, for me, this is a really important time for our race team and everybody at ThorSport. This allows us to really look at what we have in our inventory for trucks and make improvements, you know, and really any trucks that have been damaged, this is our one last chance to get them fixed before the start of this next run. And I shouldn't say last chance, but this is the real opportunity to get all of your trucks fixed, all of them built, ready to go, so that we can focus more on the R&D and more on the engineering, more on setup, more on the things that actually make the speed rather than building them. And, you know, I think for the team as well, it's nice. They get to see their families. They've been on the road for quite some time. And when you're a crew member like that, you know, you go to the racetrack on the race weekend to work, and you come back during the week and you work.
Sure.
And, you know, I feel like this is a really good chance for my team to recharge their batteries and get set up for the next stretch.
Awesome. All right. So two races still to go in round one for you guys. You're sitting 1 point out basically right now, but a lot to go with Las Vegas, Talladega. Las Vegas, you are the defending race winner. In Talladega, anything can happen. How do you keep from adding extra pressure to yourself knowing that you are the defending race winner and just go out there and run your race?
Well, you know, I don't think there's a whole lot of pressure on me from that aspect. You know, if you look back at the spring, we raced there already once this year. And I'm really happy that it's so much hotter this time. In the spring race, it was a totally different type of racing than I've seen at Las Vegas Motor Speedway. And really for the mile and a half, there was only one or two other mile and a half that come to mind that raced like Las Vegas did in the spring. Just really, really fast paced, wide open in a lot of cases, drafting. It was like the Talladega of the West.
I love it.
I didn't really like that at that mile and a half because it got frustrating in the race. Now, a lot of fans say it was really good racing, which I don't blame them. I went back and watched it. I was like, ooh, that was fun to watch. But as a driver, I was frustrated. Every time I tried to make a pass, somebody would, you know, get by me, and I felt like my hands were tied behind my back, and I was trying to win a fight. So now it's going to be super hot. I think they're calling for like 100-degree temperature out there.
Yes.
This race weekend. And as much as I hate seeing that for my driver comfort, I really love seeing it for the way that it's going to make the race fall off, the pace fall off, and make it where, you know, people are going to wear out. It's not going to be so much of a wide open race, but you're going to have to really get up on the wheel, and your tires are going to wear out. You're going to slide on the racetrack. There's going to be multiple grooves now. And I like that. That's the type of racing that I like. That's one of the biggest reasons I love Atlanta so much. You can go high side, low side. It eats the tires up. And to me, that's some of the most fun racing.
Oh, I love watching the Atlanta race. The character of that track it becomes a part of how you have to race the track, which is incredible.
incredible. And I wish there was, I wish we raced there more actually, because I just enjoy that race so much. I wish we had two of those races rather than a couple of the other tracks.
Sure. Oh, I'm with you there. So Thor Sport overall had a great 2018. Three of the four teams making the playoff field of only eight drivers, and rookie teammate Myatt Snider, just missing the playoffs. What's the overall team mentality like right now, one race into the playoffs?
You know, I think the overall team mentality is just do what you can. I mean, it's tough, you know, because at the point where we're at and where everybody's at in the points, I think, you know, it might come down to one of these Thor Sport trucks getting knocked out by another Thor Sport truck.
Sure.
Now, I'm not saying that's what's going to happen, but that's a good possibility. And I hope, I really do hope, and I know that we're strong enough to all advance to the next round, but points are so tight that we're going to need one of the Thor Sport trucks to win to get out of that points picture, that bubble picture.
Yep.
And then, you know, the other two to do really good in the next two races. So we're all pushing on the same side of the log. We're all, you know, helping each other. We're doing the right things as a team. We really need these races to go right. And that's so hard to do at a place like Talladega. And really, if my mind goes back to the Las Vegas race in spring, where a lot of stuff seemed to be out of your control and your competitors could really put you in bad spots. And both of these races scare me for that reason, but I'm hoping this 100-degree temperature is going to bring the racing back down to really wearing your tires out, multiple grooves and widening the racetrack out.
I am with you there completely, sir. Ben, why don't you tell everyone where they can follow you at on social media?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm at Ben Rhodes on Twitter, at Ben Rhodes Inc. INC on Facebook, and then at Ben Rhodes on Instagram. So, yeah, come give me a follow. That'd be awesome. I try to do my best on social media. I'm not gonna lie. I try to do my best. I do some Facebook Lives every once in a while, which I really think is a lot of fun. I think I'm gonna try to do one at Vegas this weekend.
Very cool. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, big thanks to driver the number 41, Carolina Nutt with Thor Sport Racing, Ben Rhodes, for coming on the show tonight. Ben, it was fun as always. You're welcome back anytime, and good luck at Vegas this weekend. We will talk to you soon.
All righty. Well, I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. That was an awesome interview. Had a blast with Ben Rhodes there. Hope you guys enjoyed that. Best of luck to him at Las Vegas this weekend, as well as everyone else driving for Thor Sport Racing. All right, well, not a whole lot to talk about, like I said, with trucks. Standings haven't changed. They haven't been on the track in a while. I know, like Ben said, he's excited, as is the rest of the field, to get to Las Vegas this weekend and get on the track. Let's see. We got Johnny Sauter in first, Brett Moffitt in second, Noah Gregson in third, Justin Haley in fourth, Crafton in fifth, Friesen in sixth, Ben Rhodes and Grant Enfinger seventh and eighth. But it's tight. It is close. Just a couple points. Matt Crafton in fifth has just a 12-point cushion over eighth place Grant Enfinger. So anything can happen as they head to Las Vegas. And then, of course, the wild card to close out round one of the trucks at Talladega. All right, let's get over to the Xfinity Series. So John Hunter Nemechek picks up the Stage 1 win, unfortunately involved in a wreck, finished 25th. Daniel Hemric wins Stage 2, and Justin Allgaier keeps the dial turned up to 11. Picks up the race win. You know, like I said, it was definitely an unknown with no track time, rules package, handful of guys, never ran a lap in the Xfinity Series at Indy. There were definitely some unknowns and some interesting things could have come into play. You know, with the rules package, you didn't have that 2x2 draft like you'd have at Daytona, Talladega. You had some single file packs, though. But, you know, the guys weren't able to jump out to that 3-second lead like you'd typically see at a mile and a half or your standard 2-mile oval, things of that nature. I was also surprised the way they set up the stages for the Xfinity Series. You were able, technically, depending on cautions and all that, but you could have run all three stages on a tank. There was not a forced green flag pit stop, so to speak, that typically you see in that third stage where they'll set it so you have to pit. You won't be able to make it on that pitting during the stage two break and being able to run the entire stage three. But you could have. It would have been close. You might have only had two laps, depending on if cautions didn't come out and all that. But I was surprised they had that set up by design that way. I had a comp caution lap 10, so it got going right from the drop of the green flag to grab track position, knowing that they were going to be able to come down with just 10 laps into the run. Cole Custer pits before the comp caution for tires, for strategy, and just made it out on the lead lap before the caution. We saw this throughout both the Xfinity Series and the Cup race, guys trying to use some strategy on pit road to grab the very important track position at Indy. Unfortunately, he restarted second, fell to fourth on that restart, and ended up getting into it and finished 29th. Caution came out with 12 to go in stage one with the 66 of Hightower. Restart with 8 to go in stage one, and they fanned it out 3-4 wide. Another caution, big wreck involving Elliott Sadler. Nowhere for him to go. And they restarted with a shootout with 2 to go. And John Hunter Nemechek took them 4 wide at the bricks. That was a very exciting last lap for stage one. Stage two, not so interesting. Pretty clean and quick stage two. And you definitely saw the Cup guys pitting with 3 to go in stage two for track position because stage points not meaning a whole lot for them there. Hard hit for Ryan Preece brought out the red flag, went back to green with 17 to go. Chase Elliott jumped out to the lead with a bump from Allgaier. Man, 7 of Allgaier, the 9 of Reddick, 22 of Blaney, 23 of Elliott, 21 of Hemric, with all 5 of those guys just waiting with 5 to go and really kind of behave themselves, like, but they just weren't able to get that momentum going. 2 through 5, just not able to really make a run at all with Allgaier. He was untouchable there. And was able to get it done. Kiss the bricks, Justin Allgaier. I did not hate that package, I'm gonna be honest with you, and that is an unpopular opinion by a lot of the lap traffic followers. I did not hate it at Indy. I don't want it to be misconstrued that I'm a proponent or that I'm going to argue for it by any stretch of the imagination. But out of the races that they ran this rules package at, I think it fit best at Indy. I think it didn't run as a restrictor plate race. The thing that I liked, I know the passing was a little bit more of a challenge, but you didn't see anyone breaking out to a 15-second lead like you probably would have seen. So from that regard, it kept it a little bit closer. I liked it. It wasn't a wreck fest. If it was a wreck fest, I definitely would have a different opinion. And who knows? They could run it again there next year, and it could be a wreck fest. And so all I'm saying is I didn't hate it as much as I didn't like it at some of the other tracks. So just some clarification there. Hashtag Andrew Kantsian. All right, over to the standings in the Xfinity Series. I said it last week. I'm pretty confident the field is set for the Xfinity playoffs with one race to go. Allgaier and Bell now tied with 24 playoff points, but Allgaier has a commanding 49-point lead over second-place Cole Custer, basically locking himself into the regular season's point lead, which is going to get him some extra playoff points, as we all know. The battle really between Custer and Bell, only 3 points separate them. Crazy Custer is in second place with only 1 playoff point, no wins. And Bell, with 4 wins, is in third. One race to go in the Xfinity Series before the playoffs. I am very excited for Las Vegas this weekend. All 3 series, haven't had all 3 series at the same track in a while. It's going to be a lot of fun. And just don't forget, no drivers that earn Cup points can race in any truck or Xfinity race the rest of the season. We are not going to see Kevin Harvick, Brad Keselowski, Kyle Busch, Ryan Blaney, Chase Elliott. Those guys are done in the Xfinity series and the truck series. So we're going to see some good hard racing between these guys, battling it out for the championship in the lower series, which is awesome as far as I'm concerned. All right, let's talk some Cup. All right, Clint Bowyer picks up the Stage 1 win, and how about Matt Kenseth picking up the Stage 2 win, and Brad Keselowski, woo, boy, is he on fire, making a name, letting people know, don't forget about the Blue Deuce as the playoffs get underway. I was surprised to see that Martin Truex Jr., Daniel Suarez, both having to start at the rear due to failing pre-race tech three times. Surprised because the cars never saw any track time. Also interesting that it was those two, both of whom have had some silly season news surrounding them this past week, but I'll get to that a little bit later. Comp caution, lap 10 and 30. Ford dove onto pit road before the comp yellow came out. Uncontrolled tire penalty for the four, which wiped out any benefit of pitting early. That team struggled all day on pit road. That team obviously known for having some issues on pit road. Kyle Busch took two tires to maintain track position. There were a ton of uncontrolled tire penalties and speeding penalties, which I guess, you know, you wouldn't think, you know, not having any track time would be an issue. But hey, you know, they weren't able to practice getting down to pit road, which pit road at Indy, as they mentioned it on the broadcast, while it's a big track, pit road's very narrow. So I think that probably played a little bit of a role there with some of the penalties and not having any practice time getting onto pit road. Second comp caution, the four brought it down again, able to stay on the lead lap and tried to negate the penalty from the first comp caution, but they had a pit gun issue and had to restart 24th there and just never really able to regain that track position. 78 with a brake issue brings out the caution with 10 to go in stage one. Martin Truex Jr. still winless at the Brickyard, restarted with 5 to go, and Clint Bowyer got it done. Over to stage two, 43 had a brake issue, brought out the caution. Bubba had a hard hit into the wall. Fortunately, he was all right and able to climb out. I think he even mentioned he put the window net down probably a little too early to let everybody know he was all right. Big wreck involving the 47 and 88 during stage two. J.J. Yaley spun, brought out the caution with 24 to go. Harvick pitted with 10 to go in stage two. Bowyer forfeited the potential playoff point and pitted with 3 to go in stage two. He might have been able to win stage two if not for that. And a big penalty for the 18, taking a risk, trying to pit before the leader got to the start-finish line. But Matt Kenseth got there before Kyle Busch was able to get to pit road. And Matt Kenseth winning a stage, which even though he had a little bit of an unfortunate finish late in stage three, one of the best performances of Matt Kenseth this year, running part-time in that six car, which was really cool to see. Stage three was really the Denny Hamlin show until with a few laps to go, a big wreck with Landon Castle and Jeffrey Earnhardt brought out the yellow. Hamlin not pleased as that lined him up and allowed Keselowski on fresher tires to seal the deal for his second win in a row and crossing off two of NASCAR's crown jewels in a row, winning the Southern 500 and kissing the bricks back-to-back weeks. Man, that's got to be a hell of a 14-day stretch there for Brad Keselowski and the number two team. And like I said, Denny Hamlin was not pleased, as I'm sure everyone has seen on social media. And also an important note, I think, to mention here is this is the second week in a row to close out the regular season that the big three were a non-factor. And you know who was a factor? Brad Keselowski, who went winless the first 24 races of 2018. And through the end of the regular season now has two wins and definitely making sure people are keeping an eye on him as the playoffs get rolling here. Over to the standings, still winless though in 2018. Blaney, Larson, Hamlin, Amarola, Johnson, and Bowman. Wonder if, I think that the biggest surprise there is definitely Jimmy Johnson winless and potentially could go winless for the first time in his career since racing full-time at the Cup level. Props to Stewart Haas Racing. All four drivers making the playoffs. That is very cool there. The field is set for the playoffs, and only 15 points separate 5th place from 16th place, which means it is not a given on moving forward to the round of 12. That said, question to be asked, who is the first four out? I put that on Twitter this morning and got some response from you guys. Andrew Kantian, at Kantian, he thinks Bowman the Showman, young Ryan Blaney, Austin, Silver Spoon Dillon, and the Jones Boy are going to be out. The MOATF podcast at MOATF podcast thinks that it's Bowman, Dylan, Kurt, and Jimmy that are out, and also Mick Rose for terrible picks. Larry at LBlee58 thinks it's going to be Bowman, Johnson, Dylan, and Almirola. Jeff at GreyWolfPack5 thinks it's going to be Bowman, Dylan, Hamlin, and Johnson. And Christopher at ChrisOleg22 thinks it's going to be Johnson, Dylan, Blaney, and Logano. I do not think you can just cross the bottom four off of Bowman, Johnson, Almirola, and Hamlin. For me, first on the list out is Dylan. Outside of the Daytona win, only two top fives all year long, only four top tens. I don't have any reason to believe that he's going to start ripping off top tens to advance on points. So Dylan is out for me. I also have to say that Bowman is out and will not make it to the next round. I think he's still young, developing, and I just don't see him being able to pull that off from that regard. Similar numbers to Dylan, two top fives. Don't think it's enough. I think, and it's unfortunate that I'm saying this, but I think Eric Jones, Michigan native, I don't think he makes it. And I'm also going to go with Almirola. I think he just misses the 12th spot by a couple of points. So those are my four that I've got out. We'll do that each round as we know who's making it through, just to engage the interaction there a little bit. And speaking of interaction and social media, let's get to some social media. Everyone, make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter, at Lap Traffic PC. Make sure you listen to the show on iTunes, Podbean, Spreaker, Stitcher, Acast, Blueberry, you name it. You can find the show out there. Don't forget about the giveaway. 3,500 followers giving away the 124 diecast signed by Richard Childress and a Lap Traffic t-shirt. And speaking of followers, we got some new ones over the week. Dennis Michelin at DMIC Media, meteorologist and motorsports journalist. Welcome to the show. At Race Talk Radio, home of the One Lap Down. Andrew at MadB_Rad88 from Florida, Big Dale Jr. fan. Chuck at IndyCarFan2004, loves all racing, but especially Indy. Kristen at Mystical_Diva from Indiana. Stacy at Cow_Commander, works with dairy cows and is a big fan from Indiana. Trevor at Trevor_Pulot from Virginia. Welcome to the show, guys. Make sure you tell your friends. Don't forget, if you want a sticker and some koozies, get over to the website, fill out the contact page, and I will get one out to you. All right. Before we get to the weather, like I mentioned at the start of the show, it has been a crazy week with some silly season news. The silly season is definitely in full throttle. Sounds like all but a sure thing that Suarez is admitting that he will be out of the 19 and that Martin Truex Jr. will be in, which leaves the question, where will Suarez go? There are some definite unknowns at the moment. What's going to happen with Trevor Bayne, Ryan Newman, Kurt Busch, Martin Truex Jr., bigger names that could be some potential free agents at the end of the year. Some we already know won't be returning to the current ride. Just added to that list with a major announcement over the weekend, Jamie McMurray was announced that he will not have a full-time ride with Chip Ganassi Racing, was offered a Daytona 500 ride and a management type role. Be curious to see what he decides to do as well. Matt DiBenedetto announcing that he will not be returning to Go Fast Racing next year. Doesn't have any plans, but felt announcing that he was going to step away from the team was potentially going to open the door for some opportunities. Really hope that he's able to line something up there. And Casey Kane, crazy there. Some dehydration issues, not just from the end of Darlington, but it's becoming a more severe and lingering issue. Who knows when and if he will be able to get back in the car. Definitely an unfortunate situation. That's, like I said, it wasn't just a one-time thing. This has been an issue in terms of something that his body just not working with him, which is a bummer. And hopefully he's able to get back in the car and finish out the season there. All right. Like I said, silly season. It's in full gear. And I will keep track of that as much as possible. All right. I think it's time for some weather. It's been crazy weather all over the country, and it's only going to get worse. Lap Traffic Nation, welcome back. As he's here each and every week, you can follow him on Twitter at RaceAweather and check out the website RaceAweather.net. You can stay up to date on NASCAR weather, Michigan football weather, and even hurricane weather. Mr. Aaron Studwell, good evening, sir.
Good evening, sir. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing well.
Yeah.
Busy.
I was gonna say
one arm paper hanger might be the analogy, if that's politically correct anymore.
Yeah, a bit. What you've been working on? A lot, I assume, eh?
Yeah, we've got a few tropical systems going on out there right now. My employer does, we do marine forecasting. So we have two tropical systems in the West Pacific. We have three tropical systems in the Atlantic, two hurricanes and a tropical storm. We have a potential fourth storm moving into the Gulf of Mexico towards the Texas coast for the weekend.
Wow.
And, yeah, all that.
So when's this one Florence hitting the Carolinas? It sounds like there's been contradictions going on over the last 24 hours.
There have been some recent developments, and we're going to have to hold on. We're going to have to kind of wait, see how things pan out. The European model had been very consistent with bringing it in near Wilmington. The American model had it going up towards the Outer Banks. But then today the American model goes towards Wilmington, and the European model brings it in and makes a sharp left-hand turn down the South Carolina coast and onshore.
Wow.
Okay, we just say the European model's drunk. Okay, well, except the most recent run of the American model's doing the almost exact same thing. So now we just want to wait for continuity. So we have pretty good confidence through Friday midday that it's going to approach the Carolina coast. They'll see hurricane force winds, depending on how close it gets. Storm surge will be a major issue, especially if it just sort of suits the numbers.
So
all of a sudden in the warning box, if I'm on the South Carolina coast and down towards Charleston, where I thought, okay, I'm going to get a tropical storm, and I'm looking at, oh my gosh, I'm going to get a hurricane. We're not going to flip the forecast around that quickly. I'm pretty sure the Hurricane Center is not either. I think we're going to want to see how things pan out. The overnight model runs. I will be updating Race Weather tonight, probably after 11 o'clock Eastern. I'll post it on Twitter. That's, like you said earlier, that's at Race Weather. That is updated. I'll also have more on the website and on my Facebook for Race Weather. So
excellent.
I've got all the social media stuff covered except Instagram.
Yeah, I need to do a little bit better job on Instagram.
I don't even have an account. I don't even have an account. I think my son's happy I don't.
Nice. What's, in simple terms, what's the difference between the American and the European model?
What they've actually found out is the biggest difference between the two is how the data is ingested into the model, because they'll take the exact same input data on a global scale. But because there are gaps in the data at places, because there are no sounding balloons over the Atlantic Ocean, and so all that needs to be interpolated, how that's handled, how we handle – there's things we can't necessarily that are too complex to totally model, so we need to approximate it. Clouds, ice formation, how much heat's generated during precipitate, like latent heat formation when droplets are formed.
That's crazy.
So, yeah. So all those little things kind of add up. Plus, the European model runs on a finer scale, so the space between the model points are closer than on the American.
Gotcha.
So you have less interpolation.
Gotcha.
The American model is got an upgrade, and that's running in a experimental mode. It runs slower, so it's harder to use in an operational setting. But it should. We're hoping the forecast. It's hard to tell what's the right forecast now because they're all going the same direction, and it's a forecast.
Right.
We don't know what's going to happen until we get there.
Ah, that's crazy. I do not envy you there, sir. All right. Before we get to NASCAR real quick, let's talk a little Michigan football real quick. They did what they were supposed to do this weekend. They won. They won big. At least they didn't look any worse or anything like that. Hopefully they can build a little confidence. Got the air game, the run game going nicely. Gibbons and Evans put on a clinic on the ground. I don't know. I expect that type of ease once they get to conference play here against Nebraska in a couple weeks, but they look pretty good.
Yeah, they did. I'll tell you that stat of the game that caught my eye, that stunned me, that was the first touchdown pass to a wide receiver in 364 days.
Yeah, that was a little embarrassing.
Yes, it was. I saw that on ESPN, and I'm like, you're kidding me.
Yeah, that was...
No, they look good, and hopefully they keep it up this week versus SMU.
Yeah, and the Spartans dropping a close one on the road in Phoenix. That was a surprise to wake up to on Sunday morning.
Well, you do play to win the game.
Right. Well, I don't know about that. The Lions did not play to win the game last night.
No. I was at work and kind of eyeballed deep during that one, but I was kind of, oh, look, this first Sam Darnold's first pass, pick six. Okay, this is going well.
Yeah, that was the highlight.
Just, wheels fell off that cart real quick.
Yes. All right, what's the weather looking like for Michigan football this Saturday?
Michigan football looks great. Mostly sunny skies, high of 83, kickoffs at noon.
Yes.
So I would say temperatures are going to probably be in the mid to upper 70s for kickoff. Light breeze from the southwest, so that's coming in pretty much from the south end zone, the one closest to Stadium Drive. And it's going to be a great day for football.
Excellent.
It'll be another win. I'll forecast that as well.
I will too. All right. Some NASCAR talk here. This past weekend at Indy, man, unfortunately, you guys called it, you and Brian there on Twitter heavily this weekend. You guys had a strong presence updating everybody. Man, they got a lot of rain there.
They did. I was not surprised by the amounts because we had those flash flood watches and then warnings up pretty early. The local forecast office did a good job of it. We had been saying 4 to 6 inches, and it wasn't until late that the trolls came out. But and they're like, well, why are they canceling it so early? It's like, you really don't get it. Yeah. And it's so hard to do the track drying there because even Monday morning, they're complaining about weepers or water coming out from the safer barrier.
Yeah, no, that's the thing. Like, and I was even joking with PETM. I think it was around 2:20, 2:25, something like that. And I said, they're going to call this race by 3 o'clock. And he goes, I bet it's within the next 10 minutes. And within 5 minutes, the race was called. And it's, especially with how cold it was, it's not like, it was hot to where that would help with the track drying. You were looking at a minimum 2.5 hours. And then you look at 4 hours, 3.5 to 4 hours to run that race. There was just no way. And they're not going to start the race with the anticipation of just getting to a particular point in the race. If they're going to start the race, the goal is going to be to finish the race.
That's exactly right. And that's a lot of what went into the decision. And I was even thinking last year, if we went so late in Indy because we had those two rainstorms, or we had the one rainstorm and one was approaching, but it was getting legitimately dark.
Yep.
And it actually looked lighter on TV than it was outside.
I bet.
Because I stepped outside of the press box onto the platform closest to the pagoda, and I'm like, well, I put my headlights, when it's like this and I'm at home, I put my headlights on now.
Yeah.
They don't have headlights.
Right. Yeah. Yep. All right. We're headed west. Sin City, Las Vegas. I'm guessing it's going to be hot. What are we looking forward to for all three series this weekend?
Hot. it just sums it up. High near 100. The one thing I will toss in here is it's going to be very windy. Right now, they have red flag advisories up through Thursday, which is more of a fire warning thing.
Okay.
But it's also indicative of high winds. Forecast winds right now are going to be in the 20 to 24 mile an hour range sustained. I would probably say gusts up into the low 30s.
Hey, you might get a little tailwind on the back stretch.
They are going to get a big tailwind. They're going to get a huge tailwind. And then the crosswind isn't going to be much better.
Okay.
But no, if they're going out, bring the sunscreen, bring the water. It's going to be hot. It's going to be breezy, which will impact racing to some extent.
Yeah.
But for the fans, I think, you know, it's just a hot, dry wind. And
definitely one of those 3-to-1 ratios we've talked about.
Yes. Yes. And I think, you know, this is what NASCAR wanted. They wanted the first race of the playoffs to be guaranteed we're going to race. Because if we're this weekend going to Richmond instead of Vegas, it would be a lot different conversation today because we'd be watching Florence.
Sure. Yep. Yeah. And they had that issue last year, too, if I recall correctly, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then 2 years ago when I went to Darlington, we had a hurricane going through the area.
Yep.
So I was driving into it from D.C. And, it was heavy, heavy rains.
Excellent. Well, not excellent, but at least, like you said, they're...
No, yeah, that's when I made it.
Well, yes.
An excellent day race both days. You know,
but excellent. We're going to get the racing in this weekend.
So, yes, we will. Yes. No doubt.
All righty. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, make sure you're following Aaron on Twitter at RaceWeather and checking him out online at raceweather.net. Sure. Pleasure as always, and we'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good. I will be here.
All right. We'll see you. Always great talking to Aaron. All right. It is time to get to some Lucky Dog and Lap Down picks. Don't forget to tweet your Lucky Dog and Lap Down picks after the race. And you can also call and leave a message with your picks on the Wave Around hotline, 248-965-9538. All right. My Lucky Dog, the race weekend, is Brad Keselowski and that number two team on fire when it counts. I'm putting a lap down. I got two lap downs this week, actually. Mother Nature, obviously, getting a lap down. And my second lap down are the big three. You know, like I said, they've been a non-factor the last two races, Crown Jewel races and wrapping out the regular season there. So those are my lap downs. Time to get to your tweeted responses. All right, Brett at BWayne8589's Lucky Dog Brad for catching a late caution that gave him an opportunity to win it. Lap down Harvick's pit crew for a couple mistakes, which cost him track position in the end. Eddie at 3Wide_Fast Eddie's Lucky Dog Matt Kenseth had a great performance on track despite a hiccup from the pit crew on the money stop. Lap down, a 2-for-1, Jeffrey Earnhardt Landon Castle leading to Denny Hamlin's disappointment. Brandon at Brandon K. Carl's Lucky Dog goes to Keselowski. He's surely heating up right as the playoffs start. Lap down goes to Hamlin and his meaningless comments. I think Harvick and him have a bet going on to see who can say the dumbest thing during an interview. I like that one there. All right, let's get over to the messages on the Wave Around hotline.
Hi, Brandon. It's Kathleen at KHI Fan. I am so happy we finally got those two races in, and they were two good races at that, so it was kind of worth the wait. Not really if you were a fan holding a ticket for Saturday and Sunday, but anywho, they were still two good races. And it wasn't really the fluster cluck that I think people were anticipating, not having any time on the track for the drivers. I'm of the ilk that sometimes I think we have a little bit too much practice, and I this might be an example that maybe we could do with a little bit less. Anywho, my lucky dog is getting that BC39 dirt race, the midget race, together on Thursday night. Was that Thursday night or Friday night? No, that was Thursday night. I was lucky enough to be there. It was a great race, a great crowd. I don't think that was any surprise to anybody. I'm really hoping that they continue that. It's a pretty cool little track, and it would be exciting to see that get some attention every year. My lap down is going to have to be the knucklehead who was in charge of putting the nameplates on the garages for the drivers. there were a few, if not more, that were spelled wrong. I know David Reagan's was spelled wrong. I think I saw that Kozlowski's was spelled wrong. Chase Elliott's was spelled wrong. I know Justin Allgaier's was spelled wrong. I mean, really, and that's not the first time that that's happened. So, come on, get your ish in a row and get it together, and let's not have that happen again. That was pretty awful. Anywho, that's all I've got for now. I'll talk to you later. Bye.
Oh, Kathleen, thank you for calling in. Glad you had fun at the dirt track there. That's awesome. And you brought up two good points there in terms of the fans. Yeah, you know, we got to see great racing on TV for those that, you know, work from home, DVR'd it, whatever. But those that went to the track and invested time and money, just unfortunate for them. You know, and it's nothing that it's not. You know, it's an outdoor sport. It's the gamble you take. But man, just a bummer. You hate to see that when you know you got that race ticket, especially if it's, you know, the one and only race you may get to go to a year. You definitely want to go see green flag racing. And that was definitely an unfortunate thing there. And you brought up another good point in terms of, you know, it wasn't as big of an issue with not having any track time, you know, and I definitely think that's something NASCAR is looking at with some of their shorter weekends in terms of practice qualifying on one day, racing the next day instead of spacing that out over 3 days. So, hey, who knows? This past weekend could be used as a point to be made from that regard. All right. Let's get to our second call on the Wave Around Hotline.
Hey, Brandon, Jeff Legg, Gray Wolfpack 5 on Twitter. Another weekend of good racing. I really enjoyed both races. I was very surprised at the Xfinity race. I thought there would be a lot of wrecks and chaos at the beginning of the race. But them guys handled themselves well. It was really good racing in both series, and it was a lot of fun. This week, I've actually got three picks I'm going to give. I'm going to give a lucky dog, an unlucky dog, and then the lap down. Lucky dog, obviously got to go with Brad Keselowski and Team Penske, getting their first Brickyard win in the Cup after all the Brickyard wins that Roger has in Indy. Good to finally get him that win. I'm sure my work website will be blown up with happy, happy, joy, joy things tonight when I go into work at Penske Truck Leasing in Allen Park. So that should have some interesting reading there. My unlucky dog is in the Xfinity race. Poor Elliott Sadler. Last time at the Brickyard, seemed like he had a good car. It was working well with Allgaier. And I really was hoping for some greatness. Had him picked in my fantasy pick. And he gets taken out through no fault of his own before the race even hardly gets started. So there goes my fantasy racing for this segment. And, I just feel bad for Elliott. I think he could have at least contended there at the end. Lap down. Harvick's pit crew. It's time to step up. And these guys can't make stupid mistakes. They can't, had the jack not high enough, uncontrolled wheels. The air gun thing is not their fault, but, you know, it is what it is. But just too many mistakes and not really good, great times on the pit stops. They weren't bad times, but they weren't great times. And if they're going to win a championship, they got to step up and have some great times and have no mistakes. That didn't happen today. So hopefully going forward into the championship run, they can knuckle down and get things done the way they need to. And Kevin will be there to contend in Miami, and that's all you can hope for. That's about it for me, Brandon. We'll talk to you later on. Bye.
Jeff, thanks for calling, man. I appreciate that. Just to highlight a couple of your points there, definitely awesome for Team Penske getting the win, and a bummer for Elliott Sadler. And like you said, you know, we're both Kevin Harvick fans there, and you're right, 100%. pit team's got to execute. They did not have a playoff championship execution at all on any of those pit stops there. So I am with you there. And especially, you know, I forgot to mention this when I was talking about the cup standings and all that. Kyle Busch, Kevin Harvick tied 50 playoff points heading into the playoffs. And they're headed to Las Vegas, where, if you recall, Kevin Harvick dominated in the spring and ended up losing playoff points. He'd actually have it's either 5 or 7. I'm not sure if he swept the stages there or not, but he's missing at least 5 playoff points that, hey, those are valuable, as we have come to see there. So, all righty, let's get over to the third call on the Wave Around Hotline tonight.
Hey, Brandon, John Warrington here at Racing_64. It's Tuesday, and we got to watch some Monday racing in both series. And Monday racing isn't all that bad if you got a radio station that covers it. Unfortunately, nobody around here decides to carry NASCAR on the radio anymore, so luckily I was able to catch the last 10 laps of the Xfinity race, and I'm glad I did, because my man Justin Allgaier got the win again, number 5 on the season, adding them stats, adding them points. It's going to be great come playoff time for that 7 car. And as for the cup race, I was able to watch the first segment and the third segment live. The second segment, I had to leave and came back and kind of forwarded through the second one to catch up live. But, sorry, driving and had to slow down. Overall, I'd say the Brickyard 400 was a good race. I enjoyed it. All the pit strategy. Would have loved to see what the crowd would have been like on Sunday. See if the date change helped. Also, you know, what kind of feedback they would have had if more people would have been able to watch it. Like I say, pit strategy on that track with a tire fall off is so big and unique when you can pit and not go a lap down. So I've enjoyed the Indy races the last couple of years, even though they can be snoozers. And I went to that race for 10 years, and it was a boring race. But I've really enjoyed it the last couple of years with the way the tires are starting to fall off now. For lucky dog and lap down, besides the races getting rained out and being on Monday, my lap down is going to go to Jeffrey Earnhardt for wrecking my man Landon Castle. End of the race, I don't even remember if they were on the same lap. And Earnhardt dive bombed Castle going into the corner. Castle noticed it and was letting him go, and Jeffrey lost it and destroyed both cars. For the lucky dog, I'm going to say Matt Kenseth went in a stage, and I don't remember where he finished. I don't think it was super great, but he had a great car all day long and was passing cars. So it was good to see them back running good with the 6 car and Matt Kenseth. And as for my championship 4, I'm going to say the 2, the 4, the 18, and the 78. It's going to be hard for the top 3 to get knocked out of the final 4, and I think Keselowski is peaking at the right time. So,
hey, John, thanks for the call there. Sorry, the voicemail cut you off there. For those that call in, something I found out last week was Google Voice limits a voicemail to 3 minutes, unfortunately, there. So sorry about the cutoff there. But, hey, like you mentioned at the start of your call there, it can be a challenge, Monday racing, in terms of local broadcast, being able to get it on the radio. Metro Detroit, no one in terms of local radio, AM or FM. Can you get in the race? Now, if you get out somewhere like towards Lansing, I know a couple of the stations out there do it, but I know local Metro Detroit, you cannot get it on local radio, which is unfortunate. And you also mentioned about being able to pit on the lead lap and still not go a lap down at Indy, depending on where you're at, almost like Pocono, depending on where the leaders are on the track and when you decide to pit. That definitely makes for interesting strategy, and they all took advantage of that, which was pretty cool. All right, over to the last call. You know who it is, my man, Mr. Andrew Kancian.
Hey, Brandon, what's up? You know who this is by now. This is like my old segment, I feel like. So, honestly, pretty solid race at the Brickyard for a track that typically has less than stellar racing. I think we saw a pretty decent race in total. Good battle for the lead at the end. Lots of strategy that I don't think anyone who was watching the race had any idea what was going on. I know I didn't. Said that on Twitter, and everybody pretty much agreed with me. So, getting ready to start the playoffs here. That should be somewhat interesting. I mean, obviously, you wonder what a guy like Bowman or Johnson can really do in the playoffs, considering they kind of snuck in a sense, even though they were well ahead on points. They just haven't really run well and shown speed. So, you got to wonder how much, how far they can advance. Then again, we're also talking about Jimmy Johnson. So, he could go out and win the damn thing, and yeah, it wouldn't shock me. Yeah, honest with you. Lucky dog of the race. I have to say Bowman. He's probably lucky McMurray didn't turn Boyer, because he might have won the race if he did, or even Newman. Had the winning strategy. He was on the same strategy Keselowski was on. It was just Brad had, you know, that one extra row, and he was lined up on the bottom on that restart, which pretty much is what won him the race. So that goes back to my choose cone rule that I'd love to see implemented. Lap down, I don't know, Truex maybe. He has been confusing the past month. They've shown speed, but they haven't shown results. So I know a lot of people are questioning them moving forward. I wouldn't really worry about them, but it's something to watch out for. As my usual bonus lucky dog or lap down, this one can go either way. I mean, toga parties are pretty fun, and when you're dumb like me and find the lawnmower in the basement, you're probably going to start the lawnmower and walk around. So that's my bad advice for the week. Have a good one, buddy.
Oh, Andrew, I don't even know where to begin. So, yeah, heard about the toga party, and wow, yeah, I can't imagine cranking up a lawnmower in a basement. Wow, that should be a highlight of the your calls in each week, what not to do on a Saturday night in college, and starting a lawnmower in a basement might be one of those. You mentioned it, strategy, hard to keep up with. You know, when you're trying to stream a race at work and reloading and all that, yeah, it was definitely hard to keep up with who was on what pitch strategy there. And you also made an interesting point to McMurray. He very well could have wrecked Boyer there, as you said, and potentially gone for the race win, which would have knocked Bowman out. You know, I don't know if he didn't think he had the car to be able to do it. So rather than wreck someone and ruin their day, you know, I don't know. But that was definitely a highlight. McMurray, probably the most dominant car and up front to be competitive all year there. And McMurray not in the playoffs. So, yeah, that was definitely interesting. And you also mentioned Johnson. In on points easily, and the crazy thing is, struggled all year. So when you think about the fact that Johnson made it easily in on points, what's that say about everybody else behind them that weren't even able to make the points battle at the last race really all that big of a factor? Unless anybody outside the top 16 won the race, there was no points bubble, which was crazy. And that's definitely something I think NASCAR should look at, which is another reason why I'm more in favor of knocking down the playoff field to 12 so that there is a little bit more of competition. You know, I think that's why they have the setup at Homestead the way it is. All four guys, points out the window, best finishing position. And I think that's kind of what they'd like to see happen with the last race of the regular season. I think they'd like to have guys having to battle for position on the track, 12th, whatever it may be, to make it into the playoffs on points, and that was not the case. It was either win or the field was set, basically, as far as I'm concerned, pre-Darlington. So that's just my two cents on that. Thank you for everyone that tweeted, called into the Wave Around Hotline. I love this segment. It's probably one of my favorites there for sure. All right, Let's get over to some fantasy. Just a reminder, get your picks in by 5 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on Friday. Segment 2 is over. Segment 3 starts this weekend with the Cup playoffs, runs for 10 weeks. If you haven't been playing because you've been out of it on points for Segment 2, now's the time to get back in and have some chances to win some Segment 3 prizes. No one picked Keselowski. For the Cup, second week in a row, no one's picked Keselowski. Seven players did pick Justin Allgaier for the Xfinity race. Week high was 90 points from Yunker Motorsports, Tim Triplett, Tommy Witt, Kayla Jordan, and John Warrington. Over to the top 10 in standings and the final for Segment 2. Chad Robb ran away with it, took the lead in Week 3 and led the last 13 weeks of Segment 2 and wins Segment 2 with 1475. Tommy Witt finished in second with 1457. David James in third with 1446. Tim Triplett in fourth with 1441. Amanda Pugh in fifth with 1429. Matt Fossum finished in sixth with 1422. Jeff Legg in seventh with 1414. Chris Lowther in eighth with 1408. Kathleen McDonald finished in ninth with 1383. And my Uncle Matt wrapped out the top 10 with 1382 for Segment 2. So congrats to Chad Robb, Tommy Witt, David James for winning Segment 2 prizes. And just to recap, Segment 1, Chloe, John, and Tommy won prizes for Segment 1. We'll see who wins Segment 3 and the cumulative, and we'll get prizes out at the end of the season. My picks for Indy, Christopher Bell finished in 7th, and I was like, why not with Martin Truex Jr.? And I'll tell you why not. 40th. That's why not. So let's get to the picks for this week in Vegas. We head west to Las Vegas for the first race of the 2018 playoffs and the first time Las Vegas hosting two Cup races in 1 year. Kevin Harvick dominated this race back in the spring but lost his playoff points and standings points. I bet you wish he had those back right now, sitting tied with Kyle Busch. Does he get those playoff points back with a win and advance to the next round? How about Martin Truex Jr.? Won the spring race 2017. So the big three all have been to victory lane in Sin City. You know who else has been to victory lane? Brad Keselowski, twice to be exact, in Vegas, 2014 and 2016. Does he make it three in a row and make the playoff talk about bad Brad and not the big three? There are still 12 other drivers not ready to throw in the towel just yet. One of those, Kyle Larson, coming off two top threes at Las Vegas. Who will have Lady Luck on their side in Las Vegas? We will find out Sunday. But first, it's time for my picks. Over to the Truck Series, I am going with Mr. Ben Rhodes. You heard him on the show tonight. He is pumped up and ready to go at Las Vegas. Over to the Xfinity Series, I am going with Christopher Bell, because if not, it's the Justin Allgaier show through the playoffs. Christopher Bell needs to get it back and get rolling, and I think he's going to do it. And over to the Cup Series, Kevin Harvick, he gets redemption from the spring race and gets it done and seals the deal for the round of 12. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, that is going to be a wrap for episode 90 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. This one was a lot of fun. Make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter, at Lap Traffic PC. Subscribe, download, tell your friends. Don't forget about the contest giveaway. 3,500 Twitter followers giving away the autographed Richard Childress 124 diecast. Big thanks to Ben Rhodes from Thor Sport Racing for coming on the show today. And I've already got next week's guest lined up. Next week on the Lap Traffic Podcast for Nemco Motorsports, John Hunter Nemechek. Don't get caught chasing the lucky dog. Make sure you tune in each and every week to the Lap Traffic Podcast. Let's go to Sin City, baby. See ya.